Brothers in Blue Reentry Program, Real Voices. Life stories of real life men. These are the many voices of the Brothers in Blue Reentry Program, Real Voices. Thank you for listening to this week's Real Voices. This week, we feature a man who is seeking real change in his life, away from the prison violence he helped perpetuate for nearly two decades, as a member of a violent group of convicts who seek to flood the prison with contraband, drugs, tobacco, and tattoo paraphernalia. An inmate willing to defy institutional rules and regulations by dealing these black market items, known amongst convicts as taking penitentiary chances, derives prison notoriety or respect, an elusive quality of self-assurance that translates into other convicts' fear of them, which keeps other predators at bay. However, this BIBR member, seeking a better way forward, has decided he wants out of this cycle of violence. Asked our frank questions in want of real answers, nothing sugar-coated, but at essence, real dialogue in hopes of glimpsing a moment in the life of one, his reality, his life, right or wrong, his story. This recording is one inmate sitting down to interview his fellow inmate. This recording is meant for mature audiences only. The only editing done to this recording was to clarify statements or omit extraneous information that didn't serve the purpose of this recording, which is simply to offer vignettes of a life. Here, we also pierce the veil that oftentimes shrouds penitentiary existence, a peek behind the scenes into the lives that make up Brothers in Blue Reentry. Thank you for listening to Real Voices. How long have you been incarcerated?
I've been incarcerated 20 years this time.
20 years? So what's it been like being incarcerated this long? Before you answer that, what do you mean, this time?
Before this sentence here, I was incarcerated in Missouri. I did 2 years in Missouri.
20 years in prison, that's a long time. So what did you do in all those years in prison?
20 years, I've tried to keep a positive outlook on things and do things to keep my sanity, basically, and not get lost in the system. And always thought about what I was going to do when I get out, even though I had 25 to life to do. That was my sentence. I was charged with second-degree murder and aggravated robbery. And it's been a long time. And I joined the program because I know I need a change. I want to finish it or complete that change in my life before I get out. I seen the board 3 years ago. They gave me a 4-year pass, so I see them again in November, this November. And I'm just doing everything I can to try to secure that.
When you say change from what?
The criminal lifestyle. Because even though we're in prison, and even though we try to change while we're in here, we're still living in a criminal environment. Every day we're around it, we see it. And it's just, I want to finish putting that old, it's like all these years I've been toting around this wagon with all my dirt and all my habits and all my past in this wagon. It's time for me to let go of that wagon, you know, and just clean it up and get ready to get out.
So what are some of the things you used to carry around in this wagon?
My first 10 years I did drugs, and when I changed my way of thinking, I did a shot of heroin and stabbed somebody at El Dorado, and I sit down, and I didn't get caught for that, but I sit there, and that's what I thought, man, my lifestyle in this is really progressing. Is this what I want to be? Because if I continue this way, I'm just going to get totally wrapped up into it, and I'll be institutionalized, and I won't be ready to get out. If I do get out, I'll come right back like I did before. So at that point, That's been about 13 years ago. I changed my way of thinking, and I tried to think positive and put down my old habits and all that.
When you say think positive, what does that mean?
Instead of thinking about going out there and doing crime, stealing cars, whatever, doing dope, I think about doing legitimate stuff. You know, what can I do? Okay, I'm a good tattooist. That's a trade I picked up since I've been incarcerated, is tattooing. That's good money out there. So I got a folder down in my cell that when I think of a good idea, a business, I write it down. You know, and some of it may not be feasible when I get out, but something that in there is going to come through for me.
What kind of guidance have you had in all these years of incarceration?
My stepdad used to give me a lot of guidance. Even when I was incarcerated, I'd talk to him on the phone. And he passed away a couple years ago. But basically, it's just been my own realized upon myself.
You've been your own guide?
Right, right.
Where's your own guidance gotten you?
It's got my mind a lot better than what it was 13 years ago. There's no part of me now that wants to get out and break the law on any level. You know, they've broken me wanting to do that this time.
Is that why you joined the program?
That's a lot of it. I joined the program when I was in Ellsworth. That's been 10 years ago too, right? And I got kicked out for tobacco. And I got sent to Hutch, and then I came up here. I had a minimum wage job at the medium, and I lost that job, got a role, and really I think that things happen for a reason. And I, like I said, I see the board this November, and now the program's been reconstructed, 12-month program. And Don allowed me to come back. And I think that was meant to be. Everything worked out like that for a reason, I believe. Because before I did the program and had to wait 5 years before I see my board. And now I'll be in the program when I see the parole board, and I think that'll benefit me. Just everything feels right about this time right now.
So what about your behaviors? Have they changed any? Or are they or are you still straddling the fence, or what? What are your behaviors like?
My behaviors, I'd have to say that I put a lot of the old man away. You know, there's a lot of me, like I go to work and I see guys smoking a cigarette. I want to go smoke a cigarette so bad. But as far as the old behaviors, the real rough ones, the drugs and tattooing and all that, I've let all that go. This here is my priority. Right now, my priority is doing what I have to do to get out.
How long have you been in the program?
I've been in the program 2 months this time.
What's your experience been like so far in the program?
My experience, it's a lot different than Ellsworth was, because we were completely segregated from population, really, in our living units. I'm still find myself holding back. You know, it's me not wanting to let go, let rest of that junk in the wagon, really. And but I feel it coming. You know, it's a lot more. It wasn't an emotional part of me when I was at Ellsworth. You know, there wasn't nothing emotional about it. And I could feel God working in me. Not the program. I feel God working in me. You know, and
what's so difficult about relinquishing hold of the wagon?
Well, I've been incarcerated 20 years this time. And you maintain an image through this incarceration, this time, this 20 years. Here I am, I'm doing this. And when I go outside, people say this or that, you know, and Jesus loves you and this and that, kind of mocking me, you know what I mean? And I think that's why I find myself kind of not letting go completely to God, and maybe just getting over the embarrassment, or completely let go of that image that I portrayed all these years.
And what image is that?
The hardcore white boy. You know, I got my white boy tattoos, all the tattoos. It's just a prisoner image, you know, convict image that when I came in, I knew I had a lot of time to do. I look around, and back in the day when I started doing time, you ran with your own people, you know. So, all right, here's a white boy, here's what they look like. So I got tattooed up, I put my white boy suit on, and here I am. I wish I hadn't done it now, but because I got more friends that are Mexican and black than I do white people. It ain't about being color, you know. I realize that.
So what's that been like? You trying to step out of that old image into a new image. What have been some of your struggles in that?
Well, I got in a fight in the clinic when I was over there building the clinic, and I was a SOT troop, and they sent one of the little youngsters in there to get me, and he hit me in the jaw, and I beat him up, knocked him out, knocked his tooth out and all that. And since that stabbing in the El Dorado, that's the only time I've ever had to put my hands on someone. And I told him, I said, look, man, I'm done with this. You know, if you got problems, leave me out of your problems, you know. And they were, had some hard feelings because of that, because I was this image in their call out, you know, and that hurt their feelings basically when I said, I ain't about that no more.
So why did you want to leave that?
Because that ain't what that has no place in my life. You want, if I'm still in basically a prison gang in here, I'm going to get out and I'm going to do the same thing when I get out. So if I can't put it down in here, I'm not going to be able to put it down when I get out.
Why do you think you deserve a second chance?
Well, does anyone deserve a chance, really, after taking someone else's life? You know, that's up to God, really. And my wife, she thinks I'm always in trouble because down in Texas, on second-degree murder, they're doing 9 years and they're getting out. And I got 20 in on second-degree murder. Okay, I tell her is I shouldn't have did the crime. You know, when my time's up, it's up. And I hope it's getting close, you know, but I think it ain't about deserving. I would appreciate another chance. You know, I'm a different man than what I was. You know, I'm able to deal with my feelings and everything now a lot more. And that's what got me in here was my feelings towards a woman. And I got hurt. And so we went out here and hurt someone else that I didn't even know. But I know how to deal with them emotions now. You know, it's been 20 years.
And how's that? How you deal with your emotions?
Oh, pray about it, talk about it. And like I said, I've been my old man 20 years, basically. And my stepdad, he's talked to me quite a bit and gave me different avenues to think about. And, you know, I did 13 months there at Ellsworth and IFI. And the curriculum there opened my mind to a lot of things, different ways to deal with situations. So.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
How long have you been practicing Christianity?
When Don Raymond baptized me at Ellsworth on 9/11/03.
So what's it been like with Jesus in your life?
It's helped. It's been a blessing.
What's been a blessing?
Having God in my life. I think that's where I've learned how to deal with everything, is having him in my life. You know, even when I went back to the Satya call out here, and I knew it was wrong, but it was that image again, and they kept asking me, everyone, come back to call, and I did. And as soon as I did, I realized, man, I messed up. So things happened, and I told them, you know, I'm not part of this no more. But I think you read God's word, read the Bible, and he'll tell you how to deal with situations that's wrong with your life.
What are some of your biggest fears?
I'd have to say my only fear is technology when I get out, because I've been incarcerated so long.
Have you thought about that? What it would be like being out in the world after 20 years?
Yeah.
And what are some of your thoughts that you've had?
I know it's going to be overwhelming when I get out, but there's no doubt in my mind that I'll be able to deal with it. Everyone just explains to me what's going on, how everything's changed. You know, even the cars. I used to be a mechanic when I was out there, and I wouldn't be able to work on cars like I used to, the new cars. I'd have to work on old cars because the technology. I'd have to go to school to get educated in that.
What are some of the benefits that you see being in the program?
One of the biggest, I would say, is a Christian program to the computer lab. Because even your basic person out there needs computer skills. And I've never been on a computer before I joined Brothers in Blue. And just really having people in the program that care about you. You know, the counselors. Don Ramos is the reason why I'm here. And I've told him that when I joined at Ellsworth. I told him, you're the reason why I'm here. You know, I feed off your spirit, you know. And when I came here again, I told him the same thing. That's the kind of people I want to be around. And he said that he would talk to his son about being a mentor for me, because I plan on paroling to Grove, Oklahoma. And he said he would hold you really accountable. And I said, that's what I need in my life. You know, I haven't had that. Every time I get out, I've been incarcerated twice before, and every time I got out, my family owned trucks, and they was always gone on the road, so I had no one to hold me accountable. I could get out there and just rip and run and do what I wanted. And we need someone to hold us accountable. You know, whether it's your wife or a friend or a mentor, we need that in our life.
What do you hope to accomplish with your life?
What
do you hope to accomplish with your life? I mean, our lives have been salvaged because we are still living. But how do you hope to use your life in a meaningful way?
Well, whenever they get out, I've asked my mom to look into some, youth programs down around Grove. I would like to get into a youth program and see if I can't help someone from keep them from coming and doing what I've done in my life. And I'm still good with the old cars and stuff like that. I'd like to get me a shop going where young people can come in there and learn a trade. I can paint, I can steal mechanic on the old cars and all that, but give them an outlet, a place to go to hang out and learn something that they're interested in. Something like that, I don't know.
So you're still trying to make up your mind as to what you want to do?
Well, I'll probably get into something like that when I get out. It just depends on what opens up down there in Grove for me.
If this program wasn't here, what would you be doing with your time?
I'd be out at the medium probably waiting for November to come around for my next board. Spinning my wheels. I've been spinning my wheels for 20 years, and it eats me up, man. Because I think all a waste of time. But then I got to think on the other hand, the young man that got killed in my case, he ain't spinning his wheels, you know. So that humbles me. And I just let that thinking go. When it's my time to go, it'll happen.
How do you cope?
You have no choice but to cope.
But how do you cope?
I would say I cope best I would like to say that Oh, I always read God's word, read the Bible. But it's not that, you know. I cope. I find a lot of release and a lot of stress builds up. I like motorcycles. And I design parts for motorcycles and stuff. And I would like to do that when I got out. But just looking at my motorcycles and in my magazines, and I got books and stuff. And like I said, designing parts for them. And I think about, well, even if I can't get out and design parts, I could get out and paint and put these bikes together, you know, or even work for someone else. But, man, I've always, like I said, after I stabbed that guy in El Dorado, I started thinking positive. And I always, 98% of the time, I'm thinking positive. And I like to put businesses together, and I put them down on paper. You know, and it's rough, you know, but I put my basic idea on paper where I can come back and review it and go from there. But that's what keeps my mind going.
Do you have hope?
Oh, yeah. I think my time's coming, and I feel that. And that's what I was saying earlier. I think everything happens at a time for a reason. And even if they gave me a pass this time, I don't think it'll be much longer.
But if they did pass you, then what?
I just have to deal with it, you know, keep on going until they let me go. I just hope that my main concern is getting out while my mom's still alive. She wants me to spend some time with her, you know. I've been locked up my whole adult life.
Do you think there is a place for you in society?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've always been good with people. And, you know, like I said, my stepdad told me, you are who you run with. And it didn't sink in until I already had this case. And we are who we run with. That's why I disassociate myself with a lot of people in here. And, 'cause I don't want to be who they are. And when I get out, you know, that's why I'm putting together a structured program now. Don's son for a mentor, or even to date him, someone else. And I like motorcycles. Don's a member of the CMA. And I asked him if he would look up and see if he could find someone down there that I could start talking to open that door up. That way, I already got some people that's interested in motorcycles like I am to go holler at instead of these outlaw bikers over here, you know what I mean? We just got to put ourselves around good people because we are who we run with.
As far as your experience inside the program, in regard to the mentors and volunteers, what is your feelings? What is your thoughts about the people that come in trying to reach people like us? What are your thoughts on that?
I think the volunteers that come in, I've thought about that quite a bit. And they got to be sincere Christians and want to help people to take up their time to come in to a prison and fellowship with the man in prison. You know, I appreciate what they do.
The Brothers in Blue Reentry Program attempts to turn men around in the direction they should go, a direction that leads to changed thinking, changed behavior, and ultimately, changed lives. We reach men while they are still incarcerated, in their rock-bottom state of mind, and set them on a right track. In this program, many lives are impacted by relationships built with mentors and volunteers that come into the prison, speaking wisdom, hope, and guidance into the minds and hearts of the men in the program. So what's the connection to you, Brothers in Blue Reentry? Because what happens in prison matters. It matters that change must happen, and we need your help to ensure that it does. Thank you for listening to Real Voices. Please tune in next week.